You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Amongst the numerous austerity measures the government has implemented since coming into office are a variety of cuts that have impacted organizations and services for the disabled community of Aotearoa. Some of these measures include the scrapping of a program that would pay disabled workers the minimum wage, the restructuring of Whaikaha, the Ministry for Disabled People, and general austerity cuts likely to have an impact on the disabled community, such as public transport fare increases and minimum wage stagnation. I spoke to Nicola Owen from Disabled People Against Cuts Aotearoa, who have been leading a number of rallies and campaigns across the motu, advocating for the disabled community of Aotearoa and protesting against the austerity measures that directly impact them.
To start off, can you tell us about your organisation and what you stand for?
Yeah, so I'm from Disabled People Against Cuts Aotearoa. We are the Taina organisation of our Tuakana Disabled People Against Cuts in the UK, who are a radical campaigning organisation of disabled people against all the cuts they've been facing. And we launched earlier this year when the government made a whole sweep of cuts to the way disability supports were set up without consulting disabled people. So we knew that disabled people needed to stand up and take a stand against those cuts, and particularly making those changes without talking to us first.
Can you tell us about some of the government's recent austerity measures that your organization have campaigned against?
So it started in March when the government took away flexibility in disability support services. And that had meant that people had some choice and control over the way they used their disability funding. So this was funding that had already been approved and allocated to individuals. And then all of a sudden, overnight, it just went out on social media saying you can no longer use your supports for all sorts of things. Some of the worst things that people have faced is being told that you can't take a support worker if you're traveling outside of your region. So I know quite a few disabled people who often travel outside of their region for work and require a support worker to go with them, but they can no longer do that because the support worker isn't paid anymore. And then lots of changes where people who struggle to access respite, so that opportunity for a loved one to be able to go outside of the home to have care, sometimes that doesn't work for individuals. So they were able to buy things like equipment that would give the family carer a break. That's no longer available either. And some of that got walked back because there was such a huge outcry from disability community. But the latest statements that are coming out of government, well, as you probably know, our new ministry that we were so excited about, we campaigned for decades for it. It finally got set up 2 years ago. Whaikaha, the Ministry of Disabled People, has just been gutted by this ministry. They've taken away all of the disability supports and moved them into Ministry of Social Development. And part of the rationale for that is about being able to have much more control over what disabled people can access in terms of support. And the documents that have come out have made it really clear that when people's supports are reviewed, there are going to be cuts. It's really frightening for disability community because we really don't know. Not only do people not know what supports they're going to get in the future, but what the government has shown by the way that it's acted is that it's not going to talk to disabled people and the broader community before making changes. And so they're making decisions about our lives without talking to us. And that's what's not only is really scary, but is also in breach of international obligations. You know, the United Nations Disability Convention requires the government to talk to disabled people before making changes. So they're just riding roughshod over agreements that have been made over the decades. And disabled people are confused and hurting and angry. And then the latest changes, obviously, are the benefit sanctions. And the government keeps saying, oh, it probably won't affect disabled people that much. But we know that it will. We particularly know that it's going to affect people on job seekers. And there are a lot of people with chronic illness and mental health issues who find it really hard to get on supported living payments, who are on job seekers and whose health is going to be really badly negatively affected by the imposition of sanctions.
I was just going to bring up something you mentioned, actually. What impacts do you expect the restructuring of Whaikaha to have on the disabled community in Aotearoa in the long term?
It's really devastating. You know, the disability community worked so hard to support the foundation of Waikaha. All of the disability organizations spent so long working with government, consulting with government, getting it set up. And so, like, the first point is that it's just a massive betrayal of all of that. Like, all the front pages of the Ministry of Waikaha website is all about, we work in partnership with disabled people, we value the views of disabled people. So basically the government's ripped that up and said, we don't actually care what disabled people think, we're just going to do whatever we want, because there was no consultation with disabled people from gutting that ministry. But I think at a deeper level, disabled people are really concerned at having basically all of their information held within Ministry of Social Development, because we know how Ministry of Social Development works when it's working with beneficiaries. There was that, I was going to say great story. I mean, it's a horrific story, but it's a great example of what happens. The blind guy who went into Work and Income the other day and got told that he needed to provide his driver's license. You know, that's the level of absurdity that we deal with regularly with Ministry of Social Development. And the idea that that agency is not only going to control whether people get benefits or not, but also control whether people get the supports they need, is really taking us back. Ministry of Social Development used to hold that like decades ago, and disabled people campaign to have it taken away, because it's also about that message it sends that disabled people are like, we're basically just welfare cases, and that's not how disabled people want to view ourselves, right? We're independent citizens of the country who want to be valued for the for the value that we bring, not just seen as, you know, like beneficiaries who are a nuisance and who should be constantly scrutinized. So I think that's in some ways the biggest worry. But like I say, the other thing is that the new documents that are coming out make it really clear that there's going to be a lot more scrutiny of budgets and a lot more cuts. And so what that means is that disabled people just won't have the same control over their lives. And that's, again, you know, something that the Enabling Good Lives has been really campaigning for, that really proactive sense that disabled people are the experts in our lives. And that's really been stripped away. And that's going to take a long time to rebuild. It's a really big philosophical attack on disabled people's, you know, right to control.
How would you describe our current government's relationship with the disabled community in Aotearoa?
I would say it's really, really bad. It's really, like, it's hard to see how it could get much worse. People, like I say, people feel so betrayed. Disabled people put so much unpaid time into working with government, into, you know, talking through all the issues, into making compromises. And so for the government to repeatedly make decisions, massive decisions that affect our lives, without any consultations with disabled people or our representative organizations, it's really bad. And I think the thing that is particularly noticeable is it's not just that they're not talking to disabled people, they also haven't even been talking to, like, service providers. You know, disabled people for a long time used to get annoyed that, you know, governments would talk to service providers but not talk directly to disabled people. This time around, they're just talking to nobody. You know, they haven't consulted at all across the community. And it's hard to imagine how you make a worse relationship by making unilateral decisions that affect somebody else without talking to them.
And lastly, do Disabled People Against Cuts Aotearoa have any upcoming rallies or campaigns that you'd like to tell us about?
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff going on around the country. So there are rallies not directly organised by Disabled People Against Cuts, but that we'll be encouraging people to go to in Invercargill and in Christchurch at the end of this week. So on the 30th, there's going to be rallies down there. Then we've got the big rally in Auckland that we're coordinating together with System Change. So that's on Sunday, the 8th of September, down at Te Kumititanga at Britomart at 12 noon. And we'd encourage everyone to get there. But there will almost certainly be rallies and protests all across the country about these issues in the coming weeks.
And that was Nicola Owen from Disabled People Against Cuts Aotearoa, talking to us about her organization and their work campaigning against austerity measures that impact the disabled community. If you'd like to keep up with Disabled People Against Cuts Aotearoa and join their upcoming rallies, they have a Facebook page under the same name, which we will be linking in the podcast of this interview later today.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.